It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 446. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show, or send me a friend request on Facebook, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. And you can also visit the wiki, which is at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all the older shows and links to the show notes of past shows. Great resource for the Mike Tech Show. I have a couple problems that I solved and we're working on this week. One that I'm going to be working on tomorrow morning and I want to share with you, and I have some things I'm going to try and would like to get your advice, and then I'm going to follow up next week on what solved it, if I did solve it. Then I have a couple things I want to talk about. 10 tips on speeding up Outlook, because I had to do that this week for a client. So some things to do for speeding up Outlook. Then new updated toy of a product, and not really a toy. It's a product that I use to scan all of my manual notes and get that into my computer. There was an update to the Viewpoint Magic Wand version 3. I bought that. I love it. I love the old version. The new version has some great features, so I want to share that. And then we're going to see where we're at if we have time. I'll get to some email and some follow-ups to some past questions and some great tips that you've been sending in. And I have some independent, well, not really independent, but I have some music for the end of the show that I'd like to share with you. So before we get started, do you want faster internet for your websites? Do you want your websites to load quicker? You want to make sure that if your DNS provider goes down, you have a secondary route to your website. That is where dyn.com comes in, dyn.com. With outsourced DNS, you can make sure people can get to your website at all times. With managed DNS, you can even connect items like your webcams or your DVR to a private channel that you can pull from at any time. So right now, it's important for you to go check this out. Just go to dyn.com/podcast30. There you will find a form that you can fill out and get all the information you want. And you can start purchasing their incredible services with a 30% discount just by using the promo code podcast30. So that's dyn.com/podcast30. Use the promo code podcast30 and you're going to get a great discount on incredible managed DNS services. First thing I want to talk about is something I'm going to be working on tomorrow morning. I have a client, actually an older client, that has an older XP system and relies on Outlook Express for her email. Her system locked up. She rebooted. When she went into Outlook Express, all of her messages were gone. But Outlook Express continued to work, and new messages were coming in. But all of her old mail gone. So before the show tonight, I was asking for some suggestions in the chat, and I got some great links that I will put into the show notes for things that I'm going to try. So I don't know what's going to fix this yet, but I will report back on How I Made Out Here, and I'm going to look for files that are .bak. I'm going to check for the inbox dot what, you know, anything remotely looking like the name inbox in the recycle bin. I have a couple third-party utilities I'm going to try to use, a couple really good Microsoft articles on different steps for me to try, that if this doesn't work, try this. And I'm going to go down, I'm going to do them all. I should be able to do this remotely tomorrow morning, and then I'll report back next week. Now, for things that I was working on today, literally right before the show, I was at a client, and they were getting an error. They're a big Adobe user. This is a big printing company, and they were getting an error on their pit stop plugin for Adobe. And when I looked at the error, it would look like a permissions error, and I was like, wow, I shouldn't be a permissions error. This person is a local administrator to the machine. All of a sudden, a pop-up comes up saying it's going to clean stuff, and this was not any software that was valid. I was surprised at how much functionality I still had within the machine. I was able to launch a browser, download CombiFix. I was even able to go into programs and features. This is Windows 7. And I was able to go into the control panel, and I was able to actually eliminate some things that I seen that, uh-oh, this is not good. These programs should not be on the system, and different toolbars and different things. So they definitely hit a site that was bad, and it dumped a lot of bad things on their system. But it wasn't totally crippled, the computer. So I was able to successfully run CombiFix, and it found an infected file that I had to reboot for it to clean. And it was a font file. The first time I've ever seen a font file that caused an infection. And as soon as this font file was deleted, and the system, everything was great. It was running perfectly. So I was then able to uninstall a program that looks like it's a PC booster program that got installed. And I couldn't uninstall it until CombiFix ran, then I was able to uninstall that program. But I think CombiFix just kind of disabled it when they launched the Adobe program, and Pit Stop was trying to access this font, and they were searching for fonts. Now, Grant Tech in the chat asked a very good question. Were they using Web of Trust? Well, wouldn't you know, they only had Internet Explorer and Firefox when I left that computer a couple weeks ago, and I have Web of Trust installed on both of them. They downloaded Chrome and was using Chrome as their default browser. So they didn't have Web of Trust installed. So I installed Web of Trust for Chrome. I updated and made sure that it was installed on the others, and it was. Going forward, at least, when they're searching and they're looking for that font file or that utility or something, and this is where your client goes down a horrible path where they start searching for things, and that's where you get into trouble. How many times have we had clients, and I know I've seen it all the time, when someone starts searching for coupons, that is a haven for infections. And now a font file, that really surprised me. So I was able to clean that up fairly quickly, and we were able to get up and running and everything worked, so that was nice. A scary thing happened to me on a system this week. I was called out to see what was wrong with the audio on this business laptop for a financial advisor. He couldn't play back some tutorials. He checked making sure that the mixer, that was everything was selected, the volume was up. Now, when I got there, I went to play a sample link, just a sample file to see if I could hear anything, because all the sound settings were correct. And the minute I did this, I knew I was in trouble. There was what I thought was a music file coming up. There was no association for this file. And I thought, this is it. His Windows Media Player is not associated to play the music files. And it came up and it let me pick a program to be associated with this extension. Now, I thought I was launching a sample music file. Well, no. What I was launching was a file with a .lnk extension. and I associate it .lnk to Windows Media Player. And let me tell you, when I seen every single icon on the screen, everything that was pinned to the toolbar turn to a Windows Media icon, I had to kind of get it together, not panic, not show any fear or panic in my voice when I seen what I had done. And it was so easy and it happened so quickly. And I'm thinking, wow, how easily you can destroy a system by just making the wrong association. So I'm looking at the registry and I'm like, wait a second. I got to start searching. There's got to be a fix. If this happens that easily, there's got to be a lot of people out there that this is that they've run into this. What is the solution? And once I started Googling and how I to get a browser, I had to find the executable for Internet Explorer in program files. I found that and I ran the browser and started searching, and I came across some Windows 7 forums that multiple entries kept leading back to a utility at the WinHelp Online blog, and it's a utility to unassociate file types in Windows 7 and Vista. This utility did it, and I was so happy, and it was so fast and so easy. Once I downloaded this utility, and I made sure there were several forums that kept referring back to this as the perfect fix. I have used this utility to solve this problem. And, of course, the link will be in the show notes. And it's to unassociate file types in Windows 7 and Windows Vista. I downloaded the file, uncompressed it, ran it. And now here's how you fix it. You have to search for the link that you want to delete that association. You want to delete that file type, actually. I typed .lnk. It came up. I said, delete the file type, and like magic, the entire screen went to the proper icons. I felt a lot better. Since I ran into that and caused that problem, and it was so easy for me to do that, I wanted to share this little utility that saved me by allowing me to delete that association. Because when I went into the file associations, you can't delete it. You can't remove it. You can change it, but why can't you remove it? I don't understand that. You know, I was very surprised in the file association utility with Windows 7. I couldn't delete that file association. I could now, maybe there's a trick that you can change it to nothing or something. I don't know. I didn't see that. So add it to your software tool bag. And I give this a thumbs up because it saved me. Something I was asked to do this week to help improve the speed and performance of Outlook. And I get that a lot. I'm going to try to make this generic enough so it will work with most of the versions of Outlook. Here are 10 tips that I found and a couple I'm adding to help improve performance. And one of them was huge, that made the big difference for my client, and it's something that you need to look for. One here is update Windows. Now, you got to update Windows two places. If your company is small enough and you have access to your IT department, make sure that they are running all the latest and greatest updates for their Exchange server, if they're using Exchange, and the server operating system. Make sure that they're at the latest greatest, and then you make sure all of your updates are updated. Remember, there's lots of service packs for all the different versions of Outlook and Office, especially going way back, all the way back to Office 2002, which was called Office XP, or even Office 2000s. I've still run into Office 2003, so I've run into all versions of Outlook. So make sure that all of the Windows updates are done. Two, download complete items. When you connect Outlook with either IMAP or POP3, you should have Outlook set up to download the complete message instead of just the header. If you do this, Outlook won't have to sync with the server every time you click on a new item, as it will already be in the data file. So you're going to take that performance hit only one time and download that message instead of just the headers. It's a good tip here. Archive your inbox. How many times have you ran into a client or somebody where their inbox, and I'm guilty of it, where there's 10,000 messages in their inbox? When your inbox becomes overwhelmed with thousands and thousands of messages, it slows Outlook down. You need to archive your mail and have your client or whoever you're working on make their mail, get it archived to a secondary PST file. So this way it will offload the performance of the main PST, and you will see, if you reduce your inbox, improve performance. Archive the inbox. Use cached exchange mode. When you look at the setup in the profile, especially if your client is accessing an exchange server that is not on site, if you're going across a VPN in the internet like this client was, the minute I seen that that box was not checked, that's why he is having horrible performance. When the exchange server is remote, you absolutely want to check that box for using cached mode. Number five, compact your PST file. When the Outlook PST file gets out of hand, a built-in tool can keep the size of that file under control. One of the issues is that even when you delete email from your inbox, the size of the PST file may remain the same. If you're using Outlook 2010, you can go to Account Settings, Data Files, and select the data file to be compacted. Once you've selected the file, click Settings, Advanced, Outlook Data File Settings, and click Compact Now. Depending on the size of your data file, this process can take some time. I've had it take several hours. I've done this function usually on a weekend for a client that's having any kind of a slow issue and they have unmanageable PST sizes. And you can literally just go to the top of the personal folders, right click, pick properties, go to advanced, and keep drilling down till you get to the option to compact the folder. And that will reduce the size of the folder. Because remember, it's a database, basically. And if you delete items within it, it does not reduce the overall size until you run the compact. Six, there is a repair your PST file. There is a repair tool. So if you run into trouble, and I've had this save me many a times, this is Scan PST. Is often a great go-to tool when Outlook is acting off-kilter. It will scan through your data file and look for data inconsistencies and errors. So Scan PST, go find that in the program files where Outlook is, and when you see that, you just run, point it to where the PST is. Before you do that on a live PST, now remember, Outlook has to be closed, make a safety backup of the PST. Before you do any maintenance or any work, make sure you make a copy of that PST, and I don't care how big it is. There was a client that had a 15 gig, I'm not kidding, a 15 gig PST file. I said, we got to copy that. We have to make a backup. I will not touch it until we make a backup of that. Just keep that in mind before you do any of this. Cut down on the published and shared calendars. Minimizing that, that'll really help you and help performance with Outlook. Disable RSS. I do not recommend Outlook for reading your RSS files. Get a good utility for RSS. There's lots of great RSS aggregators. And then you got Google Reader, which is just online. There's lots of great programs. I don't think Outlook is a very good RSS aggregator. So just disable that. keep Outlook for mail. Disable add-ins. Now, sometimes this is just a test to see how things are going. And if you disable add-ins, you get to see, oh, that fixed something. Many times there's add-ins that are installed that the user may not want. And to find out what add-ins you have installed in Outlook, especially Outlook 2010, go to Options, Add-ins, select Com Add-ins from the drop-down, and click the Go button. The resultant window will list all of the add-ins available to Outlook. Search through this list and uncheck any that might seem suspect. 10. This is a very specific one, and I have a client that has a ShoreTel phone system. You can fix the ShoreTel Windows 7 integration. If you use the ShoreTel communicator, you might notice some issues when trying to open and use Outlook. The problem lies in an incompatibility issue between ShoreTel and Windows 7. The fix is simple. Open up the Task Manager and look for a process called agent.exe. Right-click that entry and click Properties, Compatibility, choose the Run This Program in Compatibility mode for an option, and then select XP Service Pack 3. So you got to run this program in compatibility mode. One way to quickly disable all plugins is launch Outlook with the /safe option. I've used this a lot when I'm troubleshooting an Outlook problem, and I'll type that Outlook. And matter of fact, I sometimes even create an icon on the desktop so I can go to Outlook and it launches Outlook with that /safe mode. And you can see, does all the problems go away? Is everything better? And then now you can go to the add-in list and start troubleshooting there. Hopefully that'll be some help for you. You're not going to believe where I found an update to a hand scanner that I love. It is the Home Shopping Network. I am not kidding. And that viewpoint scanner that you see them advertise, and this past weekend they were advertising the Viewpoint Magic Wand version 3. Now I have the version 1 and I use it to scan my notes because I take lots of handwritten notes. They've added so many features. It's a faster scanner. It will scan to PDFs now. The old one only did JPEGs. They have super high resolution. Now, I set it at like a medium resolution. That's fine. And if I'm not scanning a picture, if I'm scanning text, I want that as a PDF. I don't want it as a JPEG. And that was one of my biggest complaints. They added that. They also added a little viewer that right on the hand scanner that you can actually toggle and view what has been scanned. The one I got came with an 8 gig micro SD card. I have a 16 gig, so I just popped that in. I've already scanned a ton of files and emailed them to my accountant. I keep getting 1099s or keep coming in, even though I have it all done from the invoices that I've charged clients. But the 1099 still roll in, and just to have it as part of the record, I take the hand scanner, I scan it, make it a PDF, get a stack of the PDFs, add them as an attachment, I email my accountant. I even have a handy case that you can use, and I'm showing everybody right now, if you're just listening to the audio for this, you can go to Ustream, and I'll have this podcast saved, and you'll see the magic wand. You just literally hit a button and I run the wand down a page. You can even run it on a wall. You can run it on material. I don't want to be a shill for HSN, but I'm telling you, for $99, this thing truly is magic. I use this almost every day because when I'm done this show tonight, I have manual notes that I wrote for the clients that I visited today. I have a folder for each client. I will make sure that I scan these before I go to bed, and I will add them now as PDFs to those folders so I have complete documentation for all of my clients. What if you're on site and there's some docket or some information that you need to scan, and maybe it's in a book, maybe it's in a manual somewheres, and you want to add it as part of the documentation for your client? Now, it takes two AA batteries. So I always keep some extra AA batteries in my computer bag, and I will do that because of mice and my portable mouse that I want to use. It comes in multiple colors. I mean, you know, I got the standard gray here. When you first get it, you get this blank white card that you need to calibrate the color. And it's very, very simple to calibrate. Takes a minute, but make sure you calibrate it. What I got in the package was not just the magic wand. I got an 8 gig micro SD card with the adapter, by the way. Software. Now, this is an Organize and Create 3 title software DVD. You get PaperPort 14. Now, I used an old version of PaperPort, but here you get a licensed version of PaperPort. You also get this Broadway image editor, and then you also get Abbey Fine Reader, which is a OCR software. Now, I'm not a big OCR person, but comes with the USB cable, the pouch, a cleaning cloth, a white balance calibration sheet, two AA batteries, a quick start guide, and a user manual. You can scan in color and monochrome. It's easy to just set that. I mean, I'm always scanning in color. Why not? And you can literally scan virtually anything, and it just keeps adding it on. And even if you get a little error, hey, just start scanning it again, and it'll just keep clicking the number, and it'll keep going up. It comes with Family Tree Heritage Program. I mean, I'm not going to use that. The feature that I like is that you can go between JPEG and PDF. The resolutions, waiting to hear this, a 1050 dots per inch, or you can go to 600 or 300. I kind of keep everything at 600, which is a great balance between size and quality. But if you needed to kick it up, you can just hit the menu button and change the resolution. Like, let's say you really got to get this high-res picture that you got to scan, or maybe it's very small writing or something that you want to scan, then kick it into that high-res mode and then scan the options. That's basically it for the scanner. I think it's a tremendous, for me, a must-have piece of hardware that I carry in my consulting bag. I talked about this a few years ago when I got the first version, but I wanted to update everybody because now there's a new version. For $99 with a 5-payment flex pay, so it's like $20 a month. Now remember, one of the cool things about QVC or HSN, and I don't like everything, but occasionally there's an item that I like. And the one thing about flex pay that I really like, let's say you just want to test this out and you have no idea. Now, if you go online, I think they have a 3-payment. So for $33, you can give it a try and kick the tires for a month. And you're only out $33. If you don't like it, you can send it back and you'll get a full refund. And they give you the return UPS label. So you can just return this. Just keep it all neat, box it all up, send it back. This is how I reviewed tablets a couple years ago when tablets were first coming out. I got a couple of them, and a lot of them were junk, but I only had to pay a fraction of the price, and I was able to try it out. And then and that's how I thought when I first got the magic wand. When I first seen that a couple years ago, I thought to myself, this might be too good to be true. It's what I really want, and let's see. You know, I have a scanner, but I find it cumbersome to get up, walk over, plop them in, hit the button, go back to my computer, and then scan, because I don't have a scan to folder. So the software has to launch, and it's just too cumbersome. Where here, on a flat surface that I have by my desk, I could just run this down and just bang, bang, page after page, and just quickly keep scanning everything for the doc. Tax time, it's been a godsend right now as I put everything together for my taxes to go along with the reports that I have from QuickBooks. And then now my accountant's already, I should be getting a report next week. and getting the sad news of what the damage is. By using this and by getting those flex pays, the first time I bought it, I think it was like $20 I was out, and I said to myself, hey, if I don't like this, I'm going to be able to send $20. I'm going to be able to really just get my $20 refund back. And lo and behold, I loved it and started using it. And I wanted to share that because a lot of you ask me, how do I manage my client information? And there's no magic software here. I keep everything in my My Documents. I have a client subfolder, and under there, I have a folder for every client and then subfolders under there for my visits, for my documentation. I got manual notebooks that I write notes in. I got sheets of paper. I got literally folders that I file with these sheets. So I have a manual handwritten notes for all of my client visits. And now I have electronic and in the folders. Great example was the project that I completed a couple weeks ago, where the one company, I had the new server, the new workstations. There were lots of notes and lots of notes that my oldest son took. While I gave him things to do and he's writing down things, there was 30 pieces of paper that the other day when I laid it all out, that was all manual. And I'm getting ready to do the final documentation for handover to my client on things we learned. So this way, if there's ever something that has to be done after me, or if I get hit by a bus or something happens, having the proper documentation for that IT drawer that they've dedicated now to how things should be set up and done. Maybe it's the product keys. It's critical information. Well, I had this all laid out. I put it in order and then started scanning them. Now I have 30 files that I'm copying to that directory. Here's what I found. The only difficulty here, it's just image 001.pdf, 02, all the way to 30. So now I have to go in and rename each one. So that was the most difficult part. And you know what? There's no other way to handle this. So when you have all of those scans and it's on the little SD card, and I find it easier to just even hook that USB cable right to my computer, and it just looks like an external drive. And I just copy the files, and then I delete them off the micro SD card. So now I have a fresh card for new scanning. And then it starts the process. Be careful. It'll start the process and the files as number one again. So you can't copy the images that you've scanned over to the same folder unless you rename the first set. Each time you delete everything off the card, it's going to begin at number one. I don't know if there's a way to perpetually keep it numbered just in case there's an accident of an overwrite. I know people had this happen with cameras in the past. It's just something to be aware of. Thought of that now. I'm not running into that because I'm copying these files into separate directories. That is it for the Viewpoint Scanner. And you know what? I have some music lined up that I'm going to play. But first, if you are using Amazon, and you know, you could even go to Amazon and buy the Viewpoint Scanner, maybe the carrying case, anything, use my link, amazon.micnation.net, or just go to miketechshow.com/Amazon. Your price remains the same, but you'll be able to a contribution to the Mike Tech Show by using my Amazon link, and it really, really helps. I want to thank everybody for your continued support of the Mike Tech Show by using my Amazon link. I really, really appreciate it. It does make a difference, and thank you for sharing that link and continuing to use it. I have some music, and this is the artist Ed Kowalczyk, who is the lead singer, was the lead singer of the group Live, and just a great voice. And Live was pretty popular a few years ago, and I kind of lost track of them. Well, when I was looking for the tickets for, I'm going to be seeing Liz Longley this Sunday at a local theater in the area. And what I was really surprised is when I was looking at this venue in Sellersville, the Sellersville Theater, Ed Kowalczyk is going to be playing there on March 3rd. I bought two tickets. I'll be seeing him, and I know I'll be hearing this song. He has an acoustic set that it's just him and a guitar. I found this song. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
Thank you.
It's easier not to be wise and measure these things by your brains. A sinking to eat on with you, all alone in the church by and by. I'll read to you here, save your eyes. You're gonna need them, your boat is at sea. Your anchor is up, you've been swept away. And the greatest of teachers won't hesitate to leave you there. Measure these things by your eye. We long to be here by his resolve, all alone in the church by and by. To cradle this baby in space, leave us here.
That was Ed Kowalczyk, who was the lead singer for Live and the acoustic version of I Alone. I hope you enjoyed that. And I will have a link where you can buy his latest CD or MP3s right from Amazon. He has a new project, I think, came out in November. It's called Grace. So give a listen. He has a great voice. I'm glad to be able to see him in a couple weeks. So that's great. I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And happy Valentine's Day to everybody who's joining me live here as I record this on Thursday night. So that's it. I'll be back next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.